Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on.
So you think you know something about fantasy sports, huh? Well, I've got a challenge for you. Would you be willing to go head-to-head against some of the best minds in fantasy sports? Like the FSP crew, the Master, Black, Jeff the Joker, and others. Well, for a limited time, you can acquire your own fantasy team. That's right, you can own a fantasy football, baseball. If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini, hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, the FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry, Black, and the Joker, and the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, all focused on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archives, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety.
Hello. Hello, hello. You know what day it is? Day and night, night time, whatever. It's the FSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. Master. And I'm joined by my co-host, my fellow Jersey guy, Jeff the Joker. And we, as always, we engage in conversation and give you information about the fun and interesting world of fantasy, the crazy world of sports, and also the wacky world of politics. We got a great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff and me. Tried to launch this chat, and for some reason it's not coming up. I'll launch it again and see what happens. And we're also joined by our esteemed co-host from the D.C. area. Happens to be a fellow Texas fan. And we welcome him also into the program. I'm talking about Black. So without further ado, stop listening to me and let's listen to a hello from Jeff and Black.
Hey guys, this is Jeff the Joker. Happy to be here. Let's do the show.
What's going on, people? This is your boy live from DC once again. More craziness down here, but everything will be all right, man.
All right, before we go any further, I caught just a slight wind of this on my way home from the JOB. Black, enlighten us, what the hell is going on down in D.C.?
Man, they need to open this government back up, man. Everything is going crazy. Apparently this lady, she had a kid in her car about 15 to 18 months, tried to ram the gates of the White House. Not successful there, so she took her case down to the Capitol, tried to ram the gates there, and the gun chase and gunfire ensued, and the lady is dead now. Believe the child is in protective custody. We still don't know what the full story is, but they need to get this government back up and running, man. People are losing their patience out here.
Okay. I understand that. You know, I saw something in the, and I'm just going to touch on this briefly. I just saw something on here that was posted on Facebook that the Speaker of the House of Representatives doesn't even know. I think it's Boehner. Doesn't even know what they're negotiating for. Which is, you know, boggles my mind, but nothing should surprise me that comes out of our government nowadays. It boggles my mind. I don't know what the heck's going on. I don't know. Everybody's posturing on both sides. Seems like they're trying to one up each other, and the American people are caught in the middle. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to get into this tomorrow, and this is probably one of the few times I'm going to get into sports, politics on the FSP crew show. But what I want to say now, I want to say this. I don't know who's dumber. Let me put it this way, and I hate to say it this bluntly, but I'm going to say it this bluntly. I don't know who's dumber. The people who are running the government, or the people who voted them into their positions. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but it doesn't make a difference what part of the aisle you sit on. Well, both of them seem like they're both at fault, and the American people are the ones that put these jerks in the position where they're at right now. So, Jeff, you may want to comment on it, and then I'll go to Black.
You know, I don't have much to add. It's really bizarre, and it's affecting the sports world because the Army Academy, Air Force, and Navy all had football games this weekend, and they weren't sure if they were going to be played, but I guess they made arrangements to make sure that those games would be paid. And the thing I don't like about these shutdowns, I think those programs actually make money. You know what I mean? So why would you close down something that makes money? I mean, we went through this very briefly in New Jersey. They shut down some state government agencies once over a budget, and I had trouble getting my lottery ticket. I'm thinking, why did they close down some lottery employees? That makes money. That doesn't make sense to me, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not some hotshot in D.C. What do I know?
Black, you're down there. Talk to me.
I would like to just put on a T-shirt and some jeans and just hopefully somebody can vote for me and I can end up in Congress. So I can just go up there and just speak my mind. No suit attack. Just change the whole culture of what's going on. This is a whole bunch of foolishness, man. A whole bunch of foolishness.
Okay. I just had to, in fact, I had said something like this to someone today. More than once I said it to someone today. And I just had to, since you had mentioned something at the beginning of your show, I just had to vent a little bit because the fact is another friend of mine said we should vote all the incumbents, we should vote out and get everybody new in there. So, it's just whatever, whoever's in there, get them out, get somebody new, because obviously their job is more important than American people. Let me put it that way. So, and these guys are getting paid astronomical amount of salaries to make dumb decisions. And I think I have one more caller in here. Let me see if I can get him back in here. I think it's Ricky. Ricky, Slick Rick, talk to me, man.
Jerry, what's going on, Jerry?
How you doing, my man? You got Black and you got Jeff here also. I'm not the only one here.
Birthday boy.
Yeah. Fellas,
birthday boy.
No, I definitely appreciate
what's up,
that, Black. How you doing, Jeff? What's going on?
I'm good.
All right, Rick, I don't know if you heard what we were just talking about. We're talking about the shutdown and how stupid both sides are, regardless of where you lay on the political side, whether you're Democrat or Republican or independent or whatever you want to be. I don't know who's dumber, and I made this statement to Jeff, and and black. I'm going to make it to you and see what you feel about it. I don't know who's dumber. The guys are trying to make the decisions or not making any decisions that are sitting in these offices right now, or the American people that put them in those positions. Talk to me.
That's a good argument either way, you know what I'm saying? I really can't even attack that issue. I would probably err more on the side of the ones making the decisions than the ones that put them in office, because those that making the decisions, they're always, you know, Democrats and Republicans always are going to go at each other regardless. I believe now that the House is dominated by the Republicans.
Yes.
This is really not nothing big to me, but one thing my uncle, and I had family up here this week, so I kind of been like underneath the radar all week and all last week, but one thing my uncle told me, he said if the stock market really stays on the low side of the equilibrium for 2 weeks or more, then it's really going to be a problem. And I think today it was on the downside. So I'm just going to wait this period out, even though this little incident we had in D.C. today as far as the shooting at the Capitol and the car crash at the White House and all that, that's something to look at, because now it's an issue as to where people are going to start doing things that are out of the ordinary. You know, whenever you mess with somebody's money, you're playing with a psychological side, because people start to say, hey, I need to find a way to survive, and if you're taking my money, I'm going to take you. So now you have to look at a lot of different things, but I'm just going to wait this out. It's not really a big opinion that I have on it. I'm just going to see. If 2 weeks pass and we're still shut down, it's a big issue to me. You know, it's a lot of other things that you do have to look at when it comes down to it. Wall Street is what's going to run this country. It's always been like that, you know, if you think about it. So if Wall Street stays on the downside, then we got a problem. Right now, it's just a little bickering that they got. That's how I'm going to look at it. That's how I'm going to leave it. I'm not going to mess with it.
Well, I have to disagree with that little bickering, because the fact is that little bickering, it's got the whole country shut down.
And that's
definitely not a good thing. And the more this goes on, the more pressure it puts on everyday families that rely on different government programs. It's going to be. If it goes on for too much of an extended time, I do believe it's going to get to critical mass, and you're going to have, you may have a small dose of violence in the streets today, but it's going to greatly increase the longer this goes on, because the economy is not that good right now, and when you put an extra burden on people, when you the government shuts down, stress levels get high, tempers get hot, and they take it out on somebody. And the ones they take it out on are ones that are, in their eyes, are causing it. It doesn't make a difference what party it is. They see them as the guys and women that are causing the problem, and they're going to be angry about it. And I'm stopping short of saying there's going to be riot in the streets, but it could very well be possible. Let me put it that way.
Let me ask you, yeah, what's up?
What's up with the T-shirt and jeans party, man? Me and you.
What day?
Because something needs to be done, man. We can't go with a Tea Party, Democrats, Republicans. We got to start something new, man.
Yo, you tell me what day, I will make sure my work schedule for the week is clear. Because this isn't the day. This is a week-long venture right here you're talking about. So what day, and that's the beginning of a week right there for me.
All right, let me come up with a good slogan, and I'll get back to you.
I'm with
okay.
you. I got a lot of white T-shirts in here now, so let's make it good. let's make it real good. But as a panel, though, I do want to pose this question to you.
Okay.
How long is too long before things get out of hand? Because
well,
I'm saying, me, myself, I said 2 weeks. And me and my uncle had a real in-depth conversation, and it revolved around the whole government, Wall Street, everything. So I said 2 weeks. How long is too long for you all?
Well, in my opinion, 2 weeks would probably be too long. I would say stress levels will get pretty high in a week, and I think things will quickly digress or get worse going into the second week. And I see violence, and I'm not promising this, but I'm just saying that I see violence happening. Somewhere going into the second week, if it happened and it's what the third day or the second day, whatever it is, today, I don't think the American people and certain individuals are going to tolerate it, because the way the economy is so fragile right now, and to do something like this can be a tipping point for a group of people or certain people to do things that maybe they wouldn't normally do, or just give them an excuse to do something because of what the circumstances are. Jeff?
You know, it's fortunately I don't live, well, in this situation, I don't live in the D.C. area, but, you know, it causes a lot of stress, and, you know, and it could lead to, you know, scary things, and we don't want that. And just because some politicians can't get along, you know, so we don't want that. We don't want that anywhere.
Black.
Oh, I stepped away for a second, fellas. What's going on?
Rick, pose the question to Black again.
How long, for this whole situation, how long is too long?
It's already too long.
2 days?
All the other countries are looking at us as a laughing stock. We can go kill Saddam. We can go kill Bin Laden. And we can't fund the government properly.
Boy, they've been looking at us. If that's the case, we've been looking at. They've been looking at us as a laughing stock since when Bush was in office. I'll say it like that.
Okay. All right, I want to move on because I want to talk about this. This is an article I saw on the ESPN.com, and it's dated today. It came out late this evening, it's a quote from one of my players from the Houston Texans. And I'm going to read the whole freaking article. Let me put it that way, okay?
Somebody must be in their feelings today.
Why you say that?
You reading the whole article on the Texans?
Well, it doesn't have to do with the Texans. Let me put it this way. It just happens that Ed Reed, who's a very vocal person, who likes to speak his mind, happened to speak his mind, and this Tania Ganguly, who's a reporter that put this on ESPN.com, and I read the article, and then I'll get you guys' comments. The NFL knew about dangerous, let me put it this way. The caption says, Ed Reed
football business shady. That the NFL knew about the dangerous impact concussions have on players' brains long before publicly acknowledging the link doesn't sit well with Texas safety Ed Reed. This is a quote. The business of football is shady, he told ESPN.com. The business of football is very shady. The fact that they would withhold information is bad. The fact that our CBA would not want that information, the fact that our older players would take money instead and get that information is bad. The business of football, NFL football, is shady. Now we can't get that information anymore. It's just swept under the rug. That's bad. A 2-decade-long campaign to deny scientific research that connected brain damage to football is revealed in the book League of Denial, written by ESPN investigative reporters Mark Feanuri-Wada and Steve Feanuri. Excerpts of the book appear in the ESPN magazine and Sports Illustrated this week. I just got the ESPN magazine today. I haven't got a chance to read it, but I want to read this. And I may say something about it on either Saturday's show, which is the FSP show, or my show. Its release will come out about 6 weeks after the NFL settled a lawsuit with former players for $765 million. The plaintiffs in the suits claim the league hid the connection between football and brain damage. Reed, who is in his 12th NFL season, expressed both outrage and a lack of surprise. Texans running back Arian Foster, too, said the report made sense. It's about expanding the brand and getting a bigger business, Foster told ESPN.com. That's what I signed up for. I know what concussions do. I do my own research. I talk to many neuroscientists. It is what it is. It's not good for you. That's the risk I take to provide for my family. The book reports that the league used its power to discredit independent scientists who warned of the link between concussions and brain diseases, relying instead on their own research and a public relations campaign to keep the public from knowing what league executives knew about the impact of concussions. The cover-up began under former NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue and continued under Roger Goodell, the book says. It's a little scary. This is a quote from Texas left tackle Dwayne Brown. I've seen cases where guys look pretty bad, and to think that maybe it could have been prevented, it's a little disappointing. I don't know. I don't know much about it, so I don't want to comment too much, but that's a bit scary to think about. Foster recalled the days before the current emphasis on concussions, when players were considered soft if they were able to shake off a concussion. Now players must pass a thorough concussion protocol before being allowed to return to a game. Once a player is diagnosed with a concussion, he cannot return to the same game. Foster said he did his own research with the help of a stepfather who was a geneticist. When concussions first became a hot-button issue, he is generally skeptical about the NFL's commitment to player safety, despite the league's public emphasis on the matter. I think the league kind of pokes their wanting to make the league safe, though, Foster said. If you want to make the league safe, cut out Thursday night football. Do something like that. Don't have guys wear pads on their legs. That's not making anybody safe. It's more like a political move if they try to make things safe. It's a combative sport. It happens. They kind of use that to make themselves look a little better. Make themselves look like they care a little more than they do. All right, I'm going to go to Black, then Ricky, and then end it with Jeff. Talk to me.
I have that same ESPN issue that you speak of. The NFL is way too late on this. If they really cared about the players, they would have done something years ago. I'm not surprised by the article, but I'm disturbed by another article in Fame magazine, which addressed some issues with Robert Griffin. The writer in this magazine is this guy's way off base with the criticism of RG. I don't know if you saw that article in there yet. If you haven't got a chance to look at it and take a look at it. I need you to read that article as well.
Okay.
I don't hear any type of criticism about Blaine Gabbert and his horrible play and everybody else and their horrible play, if you get what I'm hitting at. But the NFL, they dropped the ball on this whole issue.
All right, Rick?
The only thing I really got to say is the league is predicated on money, revenue, how much we can gain this year compared to last year if there's more money involved. I wouldn't doubt that they covered it up, but at the same time, the main issue that they need to be looking at is health. You know what I'm saying? They want to put that out there as health is the number one concern. But at the same time, all the players in the past, it took you years to get a deal together as far as the concussion settlement. And truthfully, if you look deep into the settlement, it's still not fair, because I'm pretty sure there are still players that are not covered under that settlement. You know what I'm saying? So
sure.
It's like a 50-50 thing. I can go with it, but at the same time, I can go against it, and nothing's going to change. It's just going to come to a point to where, just like it's been said plenty of times before, somebody's going to end up, God forbid, dying on the field directly after that hit. We've seen it. We haven't. I don't know. I haven't personally seen it, but we've heard of it in high school. We've heard of it in college. If it happens in NFL, that's what it's going to take for them to fully settle the whole issue, and then the game is forever going to be changed. I mean, right now we just, unfortunately, this is what we like. We like violence when it comes to sports.
Jeff.
You know, Ed Reed is now in Houston, but he was a great player for the Ravens for a lot of years, so I think a lot of people will always be a Raven. And I'm just thinking, those Ravens, that core group of that defense, that's a bunch of straight shooters. Reed, Terrell Suggs, and the retired Ray Lewis, because those guys don't hold back. Because I just saw, is it Terrell or Terrell Suggs on ESPN, and he had a lot on his mind, and he wasn't holding a lot back either. But I'll tell you, I liked that interview because it was long, so it wasn't just 30-second sound bites, so you get some idea what the person is like. And, you know,
right.
He might be a little paranoid, but I don't think he's totally crazy. He seems okay, and that guy's a real straight shooter. Yeah, maybe they could use some of Reed and Reed's leadership, because they had that little incident last week on the party bus with the strippers. You know, and McKinney, the guy who's getting benched most likely, and I think he was the organizer, he was one of the guys who was one of the key figures in that Love Boat scandal in Minnesota a few years back.
Right. That's right. You're
on,
right.
This is one of the veteran guys, you know.
Right.
He sounds like a
That's
big
right.
kid, you know, a real big kid, and he's not playing real well either. That's why they had to trade, because, you know, the offensive line is struggling and getting off topic. But I'll tell you, the Ravens look like the Giants. After they win a Super Bowl, the next year, forget about it, you know.
I hear you. Yeah, it's well, I'm pretty sure everybody knew that the NFL was covering up the real study of concussions, and you know, and I heard this before, and it's so true that if the NFL was so concerned about player safety. They're talking out both sides of their mouth. They're talking out one side that they want player safety, but yet they want 18 games versus 16 games right now. They want to cut down on the preseason, cut two games out of preseason and make those regular season games. But yet still they're talking about player safety. So just like I think, Ricky, you said, it's all about money. For lack of a better word, the NFL players are just pieces of meat to help generate that money. So, we'll see what happens. I definitely got to read the articles that Black talked about and the one I just talked about in the ESPN magazine to get a little bit more enlightened. Well, let's move on, and we're going to stay in the NFL. We're going to eventually talk about tonight's game, but I wanted to talk about somebody that I think is getting an extremely raw deal, I'm surprised that the NFL hasn't stepped in and said for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to cut the shit. Put it plain and simple. Because the fact is, I know they cut Josh Freeman today. They released him. Supposedly he's going to claim his right to his full remaining salary of $6.2 million. Earlier in on the first Jay Glazer of Fox Sports reported that the Bucs requested Josh Freeman to not attend a team meeting on Tuesday, for one. And even more interesting, Glazer reports, some of Freeman's teammates started thinking it was to get others to think he blew it off. Both the media and Freeman's teammates are seeing right through Tampa's thinly veiled smear campaign against his former quarterback. Coach Greg Schiano appears to think he's still coaching in the Big East and not the NFC South, I'm sorry. Schiano's agent may want to start sending out back-channel feelers to college athletic directors. They tried to trade him recently, but weren't able to find a taker. Supposedly the general manager contacted all the other 31 other teams in an attempt to trade him. They originally wanted to retain him until they could to close the trade, closer to the trade deadline, in case another team suffered an injury at a quarterback and Freeman became marketable. But the organization decided to separate from Freeman because too much damage was being inflicted on Coach Schiano, and the situation with one player was undermining the focus of the entire team. So they made a decision to release him today. They said, "We appreciate his efforts over the past five seasons, but we felt this was in the best interest of both Josh and the Buccaneers." Quite naturally, anybody who is following football knows that Mike Glennon took over last week over the bench, Josh Freeman, and he threw a couple picks, including one that critical that helped lead to the loss, or the fourth loss of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Fortunately, they're on a bye. Hopefully, they can get their things together. The Players Association is investigating how Freeman's presence in stage one of the league's substance abuse program became public earlier this week. On Tuesday, Schiano was asked if he was the source of the information, and he said absolutely not. In a statement released after an initial report of his presence in a substance abuse program Monday night, Freeman said he has a prescription for Adderall to treat ADHD, but that last year he inadvertently took Ritalin, which triggered a positive test. As a result of the positive test, he submitted to frequent drug screenings and placement in stage one of the program. He said he has passed 46 league-administered drug tests, but Monday's disclosure could have undermined the Buccaneers' attempt to trade him. I don't know how to phrase this, but I'm going to phrase it the best way I can. Do you think Schiano is going to last the whole year in the Tampa Bay Bucs? Do you think he's going to get fired sometime during the season? Two, do you think he's going to lose his locker room, or has he lost it already? And three, will Josh Freeman find another job? And give me some teams that you think may want Josh Freeman. I'll go to Jeff, then Black, and then Ricky.
You know, I used to actually like Greg Schiano, and you know, being a Jersey guy, I as much as I dislike him now, he did resurrect the Rutgers football team, but that was then, this is now. And you know, the reason, you know, he could have left Rutgers sooner, but he left because he didn't like the situation. It looked like the Big East might, you know, close up. So that was when he started to pursue NFL jobs. And, you know, he was an assistant with the Bears for a few years in the 90s, but, you know, he's still considered a college coach. And I don't think he's got what it takes to coach grown men in the NFL. I mean, Freeman seems all right, but it really looks like they're treating him shabby. And, you know, the thing is, you know, there's a way to treat people, there's a way not to treat people. Even if they're athletes making a lot of money, he's still a man, he should be treated with respect. And I'm not impressed with Mike Glennon, and it really ticks me off because I got Vincent Jackson on one of my fantasy teams. He's my best receiver, and I want somebody good getting him the rock, okay? And Glennon, to me, is just this tall, gawky-looking kid who doesn't look like an NFL quarterback. I don't get it. I mean, one thing, though, I mean, Freeman has not looked very good this season. He looked pretty good for a stretch last year, but he hasn't been able to put together a full season. But I'll tell you that Tampa Bay offense opening day against the Jets, they looked pathetic. They looked like an expansion team. I can't remember the last time I saw an NFL team look so disorganized. They couldn't get plays off. They couldn't line up right. They couldn't get the plays off in time. They couldn't stop from jumping off sides. It was that sloppy. It was horrible. You know, I think Schiano fits into that bad coaching stereotype, you know, because people think coaches only want to win, but, you know, a lot of these guys, their first priority is being the boss, you know, being this little dictator. Of course, they'd rather win than lose, but it's more important being the dictator, and that's, I think Schiano might be one of those kind of guys. The thing is, for Freeman, now that a team won't have to pick up a $6 million salary, someone should pick him up as a third-string guy. But, you know, in the NFL, you know, I can't remember the last time a quarterback was picked up in the middle of the season and went on to start. But, you know, if he gets with a team and, you know, when he's happy and he holds a clipboard and whatever and he proves he's not a bad guy, which I don't think he is, maybe they might be interested in signing him for next year. But, you know, this is football. In-season transactions, usually they're done out of emergency, and it doesn't really lead to a lot of productivity, especially at a quarterback.
If I'm Jacksonville, I'm on the phone. If I'm the Jets, I'm on the phone. If I'm the Raiders, I'm on the phone. I think Schiano will last a year. It looks like Tampa Bay is management. Is firmly behind Schiano, because if you want to just cut Josh Freeman like this, all right, during the season, and they're still behind you, look like Schiano will be there for the rest of this year. As for next year, I don't know, but this whole situation is crazy, man.
Rick, I'm going to go with all three questions you asked. One, is Schiano going to be there for the rest of the season? Probably, only because they feel as though they see something, and I really don't. I don't know why. I just really don't. Number two, I forgot, but either way.
Is he going to lose the locker room? That's number two.
He already lost it. That's the way I feel on that. He lost it. Because when they got Schiano, I think if you look at the coach before that, which was not Gruden.
No, it was Raheem Morris.
Raheem Morris.
Right.
Those two have a Chucky resemblance, which, of course, we know as John Gruden. They're used to having that bad boy face, but that bad boy mentality only came from Chucky. You see what I'm saying? So Greg Schiano puts out a lot of bark, but it's not really a bite that goes with it. That's why I say he's lost the locker room. He can sit there and hold a hard practice and this and that and the third, but they don't like the practices. They don't feel as though everything Schiano's doing is great. So I think he's lost the locker room. If you remember, the first story that came out was people on defense don't agree with Schiano. And Darrelle Revis tried to brush it under the rug, saying, hey, I don't have a problem with him. A couple people on defense, I don't have a problem with him. He's all right. But it's evident. And number three, Freeman going to another team. Let's look at Freeman. What has he had wrong with him before this? Nothing. He's been one of the few that has been pretty good as far as trouble in the league. He hasn't had nothing wrong with him. Now, whoever leaked the story, we won't know truthfully until they say so, if they say so. But I think Josh Freeman, one of these teams that need a quarterback, Arizona will in a couple of years. We don't know truthfully about the Raiders, but they may. I think Terrell Pryor might have something going there, but they may pick him up. And there's probably going to be a couple other teams in the league that might look at Terrell Pryor, but I mean, not Terrell Pryor, Josh Freeman. But truthfully, Josh Freeman hasn't had any real problems in the league. So it's not like he's a bad guy, but there's something internally going on. And after this season, I don't see Schiano there. I truthfully think, just like Black said, it's something in the front office that's going on. So we'll definitely see. I think Schiano may be on the outs after that. But they're trying to find something to replace that John Gruden. They like that John Gruden style of coaching. And that's a hard-nosed coach, a coach that gets in the players and is going to demand some type of respect. It's just that Schiano is not going to get it.
Okay. Well, let's move on because I want to talk about this. It's interesting to me because I do believe this guy got drafted this year. I'm going to go up to New England. If you guys don't know it or not, Zach Sudfeld, the tight end that was highly touted during the preseason, during the exhibition season, just got released today. Now he's eligible to get picked up if he passes on waivers. Nobody picks him up to get signed to the practice squad of the New England Patriots. But I was mildly surprised that this kid, who was supposedly touted pretty high during the preseason, and when the season started and he started playing because Gronk and quite naturally Hernandez weren't there, he was just as bad as Aaron Dobson and Kembrell Tompkins in either not running the right routes or dropping passes and not being too effective. Aaron Dobson and Tompkins
dropped some. That's his name.
Yes. And they're slowly getting their act together, whereas Sudfeld couldn't do it at all. And I think as the New England Patriots are, they have very little patience for ineptitude, and they released him. You guys got any comments on Zach Sudfeld released from the New England Patriots? I know it's not a big story, but I thought when they first got him, they thought they had a big-time type of tight end along with Aaron Hernandez, and maybe not as much as Gronk, but they figured they had a pretty good tight end on their hands. And he was undrafted, unsigned free agent. So talk to me, anybody.
I don't know who he is.
I drafted him in a league. He was considered a sleeper with upside before the draft because I think he got banged up and that's what hurt him. But he had a good camp, and just by default, he looked like possibility, but in case of receiver, and I don't think he saw the field too much this year. And I also saw New England signed, what's that guy's name, Austin Cowley, the one who's always got the concussions, which they don't need
Austin
another
Cowley,
guy like that. They don't need another guy like that. They already got Amendola. I mean, what, they need someone to keep Amendola company in the hot tub, you know? they need cats who can play, you know? But, you know, they do make some very interesting personnel moves. And you never know.
Okay.
Who knows? They could, you know, Sudfield could be, you know, they could sign him to the practice squad. And who knows? He could be a star next year. You just never know.
More than I like Fred Davis. Hell, I like almost any tight end right now more than I like Fred Davis. I'm not going to lie to you. Zach is, he may not be a big name, big star, but he does more. You know what I'm saying? So just like you say, it's an interesting move that New England did, but it does show you too. Gronk is on the way back. I don't know what the heck they were thinking with this Austin Collie thing. We'll just have to wait till that pans out because it's more to the Amendola thing than they're telling. That's the only thing I can think of that.
Well, supposedly
again,
Amendola.
Zach Sudfeld
was the tight end. He did his thing in the preseason, and I think truthfully. He's, to me, in my eyes, the way I've seen him play, he's along the lines of Chris Cooley. You know, Chris Cooley was on the hybrid. He was on the hybrid side. He played fullback. He played tight end. He played H-back, whatever it was. And that's the way Zach Sudfeld was. So Zach Sudfeld or Sudfeld, whatever his name is, the guy's a decent – he's a decent play, but for whatever reason, New England didn't want him. And for them releasing them, or it could be just like Jerry said, they could be just releasing them and waiting to put them on practice squad. But I don't know who else they're going to even put in this place because if Gronk is back and he's healthy, then that's a big thing. But New England loves that two tight end set, and I don't know who else they have other than Gronk.
Right. All right, I'm gonna stay up in New England, and I have a listener in here, Mr. Jeff Lopez. I know him personally, and I talked to him today, and he said he was going to listen. Thanks for listening, Jeff. And he did say that that's the Patriot way, that Sudfeld didn't know the playbook. And that could very well be true, too. Just like Chad Johnson, New England's playbook is not that easy to pick up, and maybe he had more than enough problems picking up the playbook and struggled with it. So he may need some more remedial training or being on a practice squad and being able to learn the playbook or whatever he needs to do if he doesn't get picked up on waivers. Anyway, I want to stay up in New England for the simple reason is this. Now, we just talked about Gronk. More than likely, he's not going to be back probably not this week, probably week 6 or 7, somewhere around there. But it's a by ear type of thing with him. They have to see how he's progressing with his conditioning and rehab. But I want to talk about Danny Amendola, who's supposed to supposedly there's a strong chance that he may play this week. And if he plays this week. Talking fantasy-wise, since we are talking in New England right now, we're talking about Danny Amendola. What kind of fantasy impact will Julian Edelman, who's been the hot target for one of the hot targets for Tom Brady, if Danny Amendola comes back? I mean, they're basically the same type of player, it's basically the same type of player. With Amendola, in my opinion, with a little bit more ability, not as much ability as Wes Welker, but he's just a younger version of Wes Welker. What kind of fantasy impact is what I'm talking about? Does Julian Edelman have if Danny Amendola comes back this week? We go with Rick first, then Jeff, and end it with Black.
Truthfully, if I'm looking at it, if Amendola comes back, and I'm looking at them running two slots. because you do have Dobson, and you got Tompkins. But
right.
Dobson, because Dobkins, I mean not Dobkins, Dobson, he was kind of nicked up. So even still, if Gronk comes back, you can run that one tight, but you can easily run. New England runs a lot of screens. You know, and Edelman has done the same thing that Woodhead did when he was there. He did a lot of screens out of the backfield. He did a lot of across the middle stuff. So I can see both of them on the field at the same time. I think Collie, what they're going to do is make sure that he comes in and he's coming in slow. You know, and same thing with Amendola. Amendola isn't. He's injury prone. We all know that. But when the boy is on the field, he gets it done. So I'm looking for them to use every weapon possible. Me and a couple of friends, we talked about this. And that's one thing that I love about Bill Belichick's game plan. He knows he has five people that are not eligible to catch the ball. Six. You might as well say six. And include the quarterback. So out of those six, you still got five people that can catch the ball and go wherever they want to go. He's going to use that to his arsenal, point blank. Don't be surprised if you see Brandon Bolden out there. Don't be surprised if LeGarrette Blount starts catching stuff out of the back there, even though he's not that good. And lo and behold, Shane Vereen gets back. That's just how Belichick does, you know, but he's going to make a big impact for their team.
I mean, personally, I don't have Edelman on any of my teams, but if Amendola suits up someday, I think Edelman's still a good start. Edelman played quarterback in college. I think it was at Kent State, and I'm surprised they haven't tried to make use of his versatility, you know, throwing an option pass or something. I wonder if that's somewhere deep buried in the Belichick playbook. But, you know, you got to give Brady credit because despite the difficulties, they're still winning, you know, and that's what they do in New England. You know, they change, you know, Belichick changes the playbook and the plays to suit the personnel, and they keep on trucking.
Yeah, I'm going to salute Tom Brady for getting it done with these rookies. I don't think Amendola comes back and has any effect on Edelman's numbers, simply for the fact that Edelman's been there playing. He might put up a couple of points, but I'll still start Edelman if I have him.
Okay. I think it was Ricky that mentioned Danny Woodhead, who is no longer with the New England Patriots. He happens to be with the San Diego Chargers, and he's been showing out for the last 2 weeks. He scored a couple touchdowns, I do believe, last week, and he scored a touchdown the week before, or vice versa. Be that as it may, what is Mr. Woodhead's effectiveness in standard leagues versus PPR? You think he's a reliable source to be consistent in being able to get into the end zone, or this is just an aberration and you can't expect this from week to week? I'm going to go to Ricky first, and then I'm going to go to Jeff and then Black.
Wow. That's I picked him up for the amount I picked him up in Black League because I feel as though he's definitely a commodity. As far as standard, I don't know. You know what? Truthfully, the reason why I picked him up, you got Malcolm Floyd. Is it Michael or Malcolm? Which one is in San Diego?
Malcolm.
Okay. Malcolm, he has a neck problem. We all know.
He's out for the season. He's done for the season.
I think I did see that today. So
he's
done for the season. You only have Eddie Royal, Antonio Gates, Danny Woodhead, Matthews, Ronnie Brown, whoever else. But out there for San Diego, he is going to be a factor in their win-loss column. If you have him in a standard league, I really suggest that you find somebody that's going to be a bell cow, because the bell cow in the standard league is always the one that you can depend on. In a PPR, he's probably going to be great. I will always give him one touchdown a game. Two, you're kind of pushing it, and if he gets three, you were lucky for the week. They better be playing Jacksonville twice. That's how I feel about it.
Okay.
I like Woodhead a lot. I mean, 2 years ago in New England, he looked very good. I think in a PPR league, you could probably start him at running back the way he's playing. I mean, he's not going to score two touchdowns every game. It's not going to happen. That just was
right.
A great gift for the guys who started him. In non-PPR, maybe he's your third running back, you know, maybe a flex, or start him once in a while if one of your other guys is out. But I'll tell you that San Diego offense, in particular Phillip Rivers, is looking terrific. Gates is healthy and he's playing well. And, you know, Rivers isn't getting the respect. I mean, it's only four games, but it's a great four games for him. And I got him as a backup in one of my leagues, and I'm trying to trade him, and nobody's digging him, you know. It's like, hey, give the guy some credit. But, you know, once you get a bad reputation for inconsistent play and turnovers, nobody wants to give you any respect, you know. But Ken Wisenhunt is offensive coordinator in San Diego, and he looks like he's doing some good work down there.
Okay.
PPR, non-PPR. I need Woodhead to get amnesia and lose his way to the stadium. I need my boy Royal getting these touchdowns again, like the beginning of the season.
Okay. Well, I don't think, in my opinion, Danny Woodhead's a good PPR pickup, good one to use in PPR. But in standard leagues, you're rolling the dice, and if he doesn't get touchdowns, he's not going to get a lot of yardage, either running the ball or catching the ball. He's not going to get a lot of yardage. He's going to get a decent amount, but in standard league, that's not going to equate to much. In PPR, at least you get a chance to pick up points for each reception he gets in addition to his yardage. And then the bonus is if he gets into the end zone. So be that as it may, I think Danny Woodhead is a good PPR guy and not for standard leagues. We had about a minute 45 seconds left in the show, and right now, the score is at with 5:27 into the first quarter, left in the first quarter. Buffalo happens to be up on Cleveland 10-0, which I wouldn't say surprising to me, but I think both these teams are pretty evenly matched, and PPR in here. I mean, excuse me. Fantasy would be C.J. Spiller, who hasn't been doing too much, Josh Gordon, who I really really like a lot, and what happened? Did Brian Hoyer get hurt?
Brian Hoyer went out with a knee injury, and he's questionable.
Oh, that killed me,
yeah.
Josh Gordon.
Ooh.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Really?
Who's playing now? Jason Campbell?
I got a feeling it may be Campbell because I didn't hear. I'm not in there, but I was looking at it on my phone.
The gentleman in our chat room says Whedon is in.
Whedon is in right now.
Okay.
And that spells doom for the Cleveland offense. Oh, God.
That's it for that. So, you folks. All you folks, and I'm going to say this, a.k.a. FST, who picked up Brian Hoyer, thank you. But oh well.
Well, that, in my opinion, that was a bad move. I would have never picked up Brian Hoyer because even though he'd been playing well, he wasn't really racking up a lot of yards. I would have picked up try to get the ones that he was throwing to, meaning Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron.
I know one of those leagues that we're in, he picked them up. It doesn't matter to me, but
yeah, that in my opinion, your buddy is I think he's lost his mind this year.
I think so too.
I think he's overthinking a lot of things. And that one league that we're in.
Jerry, I don't want to touch that issue. I don't want to touch it. I'm just going to let it be. If you want to touch it, go ahead. But
Let me put it this way. Rick. I'm going to put it this way. You get members to join your league before the draft. The commissioner has the settings in the league, and everybody is afforded to look at the settings in the league to make sure that they have an understanding before they go into the draft what the settings are. And if you have any reservations, you have any complaints or problems with the settings, you should air them before the draft. So everything is cleared up, and there's no problems once you draft and start going into fantasy season.
I got
a problem.
Somebody changed the rules during the season.
No. Just listen. Just listen to what I'm saying. I got a problem with guys starting to complain because of the settings that are in the league after the season started, complaining about you should change these settings. Why is the settings like this? This doesn't make any sense. And I'll just say this, and I said it more than once on the message board. You knew what the settings were before you went into the draft.
Thank you.
You never said anything.
At all.
So now the season starts, and you see what's happening, and you start pulling out your crying towels because you don't like what you see. Well, I also said every league is different. The settings in this league are different. Adjust to it. Let's play. Am I right, Rick? Is that what I said?
You're right, and you say it, and I fully 150,000% back what you're saying. Mind you, as commissioner of this league, I was asleep until what? I put 60 or 90 seconds on each pick. I was asleep until I had 30 seconds left on my very first pick in the draft.
Right.
There was nothing for me to change any of that. Everything stayed as was. And this man, I believe he's 0-5. I hate to put his record out there. I'm sorry, 0-4. It's probably going to be 0-5 after this week. But he couldn't adjust, and he still can't adjust. So there's a problem, man. That's all it is. Just like you say, there are different leagues, different settings, different things. I decided to make a league that was geared towards everything. So that's all it is. And
right.
It's a problem.
I totally agree. Every league is, and I'll say it again, every league is different. You know the settings before you go to the draft. If you have any problems or questions or issues with the settings, you address the commissioner before the draft. Okay? After it starts, the commissioner runs the league. And since he made the settings and no one got upset about the settings – No one questioned him at all, until week four, going into week five, about,
right.
Oh, they didn't like the settings. Well, that's too bad. That's too bad. You can't. You're not going to change it. It's not going to change now, huh?
Is this a money league?
Yes,
oh,
it's
yeah.
a money league. Yes, it's a money league.
I see death threats being sent to the commissioner soon.
You say what?
Hey, he said he see death threats being sent to the commissioner soon.
Hey, that's fine. I'm here. We got so I'm in D.C. We getting a lot of stuff going on with the government right now. I'm here.
Anyway, he made the settings, and everybody had a chance to see them. I'll repeat it again. Everybody had a chance to see the settings before the draft. No one had an issue. Now, going into the fifth game, between the fourth and the fifth matchup, now they got an issue. Okay. Justin Josh is different. It's different. Now, I'm going to say someone a year or two ago made a mistake in his scoring and had one of the positions, I forget what, I think it was running back, had bloated scoring in a certain position. People complained about it, but it never got changed until the end of the season. And that was at the discretion of the commissioner. So you're not going to change this at the beginning of the season. You guys, if anybody of them are listening, including you know who I'm talking about, Vic. I mean, Rick.
yeah.
Get over it. Get over it and just play. That's all I can say. Get over it and just play. And I'm not running away with league. I'm 2-2, so it's not like it's favoring me. So just play with it.
And I can see if I was like undefeated, I'm 2-2 also. I'm fighting.
Yeah.
So
it's
not me. I even got people in there that's undefeated. I think he's just procrastinating the situation because he does have one of the top defenses. But just like I expressed on the thing. On the league page, you have a defense that's predicated towards the scoring that's going on. You see what I'm saying? I wanted something different. This man, and this is what really makes me kind of, I'm not going to say mad. I'm not even going to say upset. This is just one thing that really annoys me about it. He even has a defense on there that is top in the rankings for ESPN, depending upon the scoring system that I put together. And he also said before the draft, if I, as the commissioner, had looked at the way I put the scoring together, I would have drafted a quarterback, a.k.a. Aaron Rodgers, that would have given me the type of points to make me a top player in the league. This man has not won a game. I'm 2-2. He's 0-4 in this league. But you're going to come at me and tell me about the way I did the scoring. I don't have time for it. I'm not going to play with these asinine messages. I'm not going to do this. Either you're going to go and you're going to play, or you're going to take the season. And if you take the season, the type of money you put in, it's just going to fold over. If that many people take the season, we're going to fold it all over, and next year I will make it a 7-on-7, and then I will give you a chance to review the settings. I will email the settings to you a month prior to drafting this league and make sure that you understand them. That's
Rick,
what I'm going
to
do.
You shouldn't have to do that because everybody's supposed to be grown here, and
that's right.
It is what it is. And like
is
I said,
we're all grown. One person I do want to hear from, what is Jeff? Jeff, you're in here. For some reason, Jeff, and I haven't heard anything from Jeff. He's been the most professional, but I've never seen Jeff at this standpoint in the league. So, Jeff, what do you think on the whole situation?
You know, I mean, I read it over before I got it, but I didn't fully get it. You know what I'm saying? But that's on me. And, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't care for the scoring. I'm not going to piss and moan about it because you can't change it during the season. And to be honest, I'd like to see a more traditional scoring for next season, you know. And, you know, I've just been meaning to put something out there about it. And, you know, I have reasons why. I have legitimate reasons why, but for next season. And because I don't care for the scoring. I mean, I like leagues that are a little different, but this is not different in the right direction. It's just, you know, I mean, giving points to a fantasy defense for tackles, a lot of times that means they're staying on the field a lot and they're not stopping people. To me, that's rewarding mediocrity. You know what I'm saying? And giving these quarterback rewards for completions, whoop-de-doo. What about yards and touchdowns? That's where it's at, you know? I mean, I know a dude, a big fantasy player, he refuses to play in PPR leagues because he thinks that's rewarding mediocrity. He says yards are what matter. I don't want, you know, some guy catches, 10 passes for 50 yards. Who cares, you know? And you know, he's got a valid opinion, and that's, you know, the way I'm feeling. I don't like, especially the quarterback and the defensive scoring, but there are some good things about the league. I think it's interesting because you have a team defense and you still also have IDP. Most leagues don't have both. But, you know, I mean, I've heard of some very, very exotic leagues, you know. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, especially if guys are in a lot of leagues. But, you know, just because you could have, you know, the software or whatever is flexible enough to have these more exotic formats doesn't mean you have to have it, you know. But, you know, I tell you, though, in another league, which I'm actually doing fairly well in, Parlay Palace League, I want to post something, and it could wait to the end of the season, but then at the end of the season you forget about it. I mean, it's a minor thing. And it can't be changed this year. It'll be for next year. I think in that league, we should be able to start a tight end as a flex. It's a minor thing, but in most leagues that use a flex, you could put a tight end in there. And especially now with the bye weeks, sometimes that's your best option. You know, and in that league, you could carry three tight ends also. You can only start one. I plan on posting something before I forget, before it slips my mind.
No need to post, Joker. We'll take that up in the owners' meeting in the off season when we're in Hawaii.
I can respect that.
Especially Jeff, about that flex tight end for the flex, because there's so many versatile tight ends right now.
This is like a golden year for tight ends. It's unreal.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
I can definitely respect that.
Okay. Well, we've come to the end of the show. I want to see how Whedon's going to screw this one up, and screw up my one receiver that I thought was going to do decent. I mean, the game is early, but it's Brandon Whedon versus, and that happens to be Mr. FSP's pick on a quarterback. Anyway, be that as it may. I'm going to go down the line before I finish this out. I'm going to go with Jeff, then Black, then Rick, and then myself before we get out of here. Any closing remarks?
Me first.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I was a little distracted for a second.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, everybody playing fantasy, you know, keep on trucking because sometimes you get off to a slow start, but don't do anything crazy. Don't give up the ship, and sometimes you can turn it around. So keep on trucking.
I've been praying since the end of the game on Sunday. I'll still be praying up the game time. Peyton Manning, please don't torture us. I have no time for it. I don't want to see it. You can throw a couple to Demarius. That'll be cool. But that's about it.
Okay.
Wow. I hope Dallas keeps the game close Sunday, because if they do, then I think that y'all can laugh me out if y'all want. I think we got a better chance of winning. And either way, thanks for the W.
You just slipped that in there. Who's we?
I'm talking about the Redskins. I'm not going to sit here and not talk about my team.
Redskins aren't playing today. I'm playing this week.
I know. So I hope if Dallas keeps it close, then when we play Denver, I think we got a better chance.
I'm really
dreaming into the future now.
Peyton hasn't won in Dallas in his career, so hopefully we can keep that going.
Well, that might change come Sunday, but either way, I hope y'all keep it close.
All right, be that as it may, I want to thank you guys for joining me. I want to thank the one guy I had in the chat room, a friend of mine who was in the chat room. He happens to be a co-owner of a Yahoo league that we're in, a $200 buy-in league. So,
oh, man. Woo.
Yeah, so
I hope you win.
Well, we're 2-2. I think we're fifth or sixth right now. So, they give you a $50 high game a week check
for
money. Yeah, high scoring game for the week. So we won it the first week and we won it last week. So, but we're 2-2 because we have Steven Jackson on our team and he got hurt.
Y'all the co-commissioners?
We're co-owners of this team.
Co-owners. Okay.
Yeah, and we also, unfortunately or fortunately, we had Colin Kaepernick, and you know, guys, what happened with Colin Kaepernick back-to-back week 2 and 3, so that hurt us on those 2 weeks. That's why we're 2-2, mainly because of Kaepernick. And we had to readjust because Steven Jackson got hurt, and we had to scramble around for a decent running back to take his spot. But be that as it may, like I said, I want to thank you guys for joining me tonight. Tune in next week and be back next week with the same group of characters, I hope. I am JT, which was joined by Jeff the Joker, Black, and also Slick Rick. We'll be back here next week and to talk about whatever's going on in the NFL or whatever's going on in fantasy. And hopefully the government shutdown is over by then. And I'm not counting on it, but hopefully it is. Or we'll be talking about a little more politics. With that being said, enjoy the game Thursday. Hopefully it'll do you some good in your fantasy. And enjoy the games on the weekend. See you guys. Oh, don't do this to me again. There we go. Come on. Oh, God. I hate this.
Just start singing.
Blame the government shutdown.
Start singing.
It's been doing this to me for the last few shows. It just all of a sudden just decides to not play the music. Plays in the beginning, but at the end, doesn't play it for some reason. And
like that 0-4 record FST has.
Well, be that as it may, we're out of here. No music. We're just going to close the show out. See ya.